to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This episode of United We Stand is sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Visit betonbrazil.com for the very latest odds and offers.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. My name's Andy Mitten and I'm in a taxi in Beijing. I'm trying to get to see Manchester United train. It's the day before the derby game against Manchester City, but the training session has been moved from the Bird's Nest Stadium, which staged the 2008 Olympic Games, to the adjacent Olympic Sports Centre. I tried to get a metro to the Olympic Sports Centre. The metro station was closed, so I came to the Bird's Nest Stadium. There's United fans knocking around. Lots of them have got tickets, and they didn't know that the training has been moved. Some of the security guards, they don't have a clue what's going on. And the Olympic Sports Centre is 3 kilometres from here, so I've just jumped into a taxi with some other Manchester United fans who I just met in the street. They were wearing a red shirt. I started speaking to them. The first person was this gentleman. What's your name and where you're from?
I'm from Mongolia and my name is Samara, and nice to meet you in the meeting.
This is the first Manchester United fan I've ever met from Mongolia, from Ulaanbaatar, I believe, the capital. So I've been fortunate to travel the world watching United, but I've never met a Mongolian United fan before. And this one speaks perfect English as well. Why Manchester United?
Why am I supporting Manchester United? And since 2006, I supported Manchester United because of Cristiano Ronaldo and Sir Alex Ferguson, and the nature, soul and philosophy of Manchester United is great. And my first game, I guess, is Manchester United versus AS Roma in 2006, I guess, and they beat Roma 7-1. I guess that was a fantastic game, and since that game, I'm supporting for 10 years, I guess.
So where did you get to see that game? Are United games televised in Mongolia?
Yes, I am.
All of them?
All of them for 10 years. I'm watching Manchester United game television, Mongolian television.
As I'm talking here, a van's just gone past with Pep Guardiola on the side, saying welcome to China. That looks like it's been paid for by Manchester City's marketing team. That's the sort of thing that they're doing. The message is in English and it's also in Mandarin as well. Sorry, it's not often I see an image of Manchester City's manager going through China.
Okay.
And how many United fans are in Mongolia? How many people live in Mongolia?
I guess in Mongolia has a 3 million people, 3 million people, and maybe as 40,000 fans, Manchester United fans lives in here, Mongolia. Manchester United is a huge, fan, huge club in Mongolia, and there are huge fans in Mongolia from who supports Manchester United.
Where did you learn English?
In Mongolia.
And that's normal for young Mongolian people to speak English?
Yes, I guess.
Yeah?
Yes.
And how was Mongolia and Ulaanbaatar changed? Because I've read some articles about it saying it's become a very modern place from a very traditional place. Is that accurate?
Yes. Since 1990, Mongolia has been developing so fast and so well. And now, Ulaanbaatar is a modern city like Beijing and Shanghai and Washington. And there's a Mongolian people has Mongolian people's people is developing so fast in these days. And you can visit Beijing, and after you can, if you visit Beijing after Ulaanbaatar, and there is a few difference. There's a few differences. Mongolian developing is effective, efficiently, well.
And how are relations with China between Mongolia and China? Good relations?
Yes, Mongolia and China are the neighbor countries. That's why since the century ago, their relation is connected.
Genghis Khan was Mongolian.
Yes, Genghis Khan is from Mongolia.
And you're proud of that?
Yes.
He's like a national.
Every Mongolian person proud of Genghis Khan. Yes.
You've got a Manchester United shirt on. Did you buy that in Mongolia?
Yes. I bought it from Mongolia, I guess. I have a collection from a Manchester United t-shirts, from 2006 t-shirts to 2014 t-shirt.
Have you ever seen United play before?
In 2011, Manchester United visited to Shanghai to play Shanghai Shenhua, and I watched that match on the Shanghai National Stadium. It's almost 4 years ago.
So this is your second game against Manchester City.
Yes, it's my second.
What do you think of City?
Sorry.
What is your opinion of Manchester City?
Manchester City. It's also a great club. It also has a great players, but Manchester United has not a great history. It's a big difference between Manchester United and Manchester City.
Are there any City fans in Mongolia?
I think since 2011 and 2010, Manchester City fans has growing in Mongolian, as normal Mongolians is. Not so many.
Is it difficult for you to get to Manchester to watch a game, apart from the distance and the cost? Could you get a visa to go to England, no problem?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's quite complicated to visit London and to visit Manchester to Manchester United game face to face. For me, watching on TVs, it's normal, it's simple, yes.
And where do you watch games, at home or with other Manchester United supporters in Ulaanbaatar?
I think all of 90% of all of the games I watched was my home. That's my home, my TV.
Thank you for your time. We're still in the taxi here. I've missed the press conference, the start of it. It starts in 1 minute. I can see the Olympic Sports Centre in front, where the team are going to be training in half an hour. One problem with Beijing, or maybe it's not a problem, is it's so big. So when you look at, we were given a tourist map by the hotel, and I said, how far is Tiananmen Square? And he said, it's very close, you can walk there, it's just around the corner. So how far to walk? Maybe 50 minutes, 1 hour. And walking for 5 minutes when the temperature's so hot is unpleasant. So I don't know how people think you can walk for an hour. But just here on the map, the Bird's Nest Stadium and the Olympic Centre, they're right next to each other. But in reality, it's like a 6 kilometre drive from A to B, or right around the perimeter. The traffic's really heavy. The changes in Beijing since I was last here in 2005 are pretty clear. I think there's 4 new metro lines open since then. It's still famous for having pollution, but you can see that China is, there's money here.
It's the second biggest economy in the world now. I stopped in Nanjing on the way up from Shanghai. And Nanjing's a city of 8 million people. It's almost the size of London. And it's got a skyline which looks like Chicago. And I'd barely heard of it. You know, when I started jogging my memory a bit and reading about it, But I'd still barely heard of it. And the numbers are just incredible. But that's what you get in a country where there's a billion people. We're crossing over a major intersection here, as is a couple of Manchester United fans. They're trying to watch the game, the training session as well. It really isn't a good temperature to be training in, and the US government issued a guideline saying when the temperature is 40 degrees you should stay inside, but if you go out in Beijing, wear a face mask. But United players are training, so I'm going to see if we can get in. I've no idea where my pass is to try and get in the stadium, but hopefully we'll get in. And you know, if I don't, it's not the end of the world, but I've come right across the city to watch a training session and see a press conference, so. I'm in Beijing, supposed to be watching Manchester United play Manchester City, but the game has been cancelled. The pitch was deemed unplayable, as far as I know, by both managers, by both clubs. They thought it was a risk to the players. And with Paddy Crerant. Paddy, you played on far worse pitches than that.
Didn't matter in those days, did it?
Does it matter now?
Oh, I think it does matter, because the chance, I would think the main reason why the manager didn't want to play today is because of the conditions and people getting injured, all that sort of thing. But it's a long way to come not to see a game, and you feel a great deal of sympathy towards all the people here in Beijing that United haven't played, because you've been in this hotel. This hotel has been absolutely madness. You go anywhere and there's about 100 people following you. You go out the door, you can't go out the blooming door. And that's for me, and I'm one of the older generation. What it's like for the present day players would be even worse, I would imagine. But it's just fantastic to think that United have that type of support in this part of the world. And I'm not complaining, in actual fact. The enthusiasm of the fans here is incredible. Incredible.
As you say, some people have travelled from Manchester.
Yes.
That's a shame.
And there's a couple of Egypts over there from London.
Travelled a long way for a game.
Yeah.
Did you see the pitch?
No.
You just saw the one in training?
All I saw was on the TV, but Dave Gardner, who obviously works with me at United, he's been down on the pitch and said it was awful.
Really?
Said it was awful.
Really?
But as I said, it's a shame when you think people have paid all that money for tickets. I know they'll get their money back, but just it's a shame.
Describe the mood among the United players you've been speaking with the manager.
I've spoken to the manager a couple of times, and I think the manager's terrific. Everybody knows of that opinion about the manager anyway.
You know he's a Rangers fan, on the quiet.
The wind-up merchant. But
did you get on well with him?
Yes. And I look at the players, and it's different. The players... I've been down watching the training, of course, with the players. And it seems different. There seems a great...
I saw that in Shanghai.
Did you?
Yeah.
They were
having a laugh.
Hilarity, yeah. And all that sort of thing. Not as serious as it was before. And I think when it's not as serious, people can enjoy themselves. You have a laugh and a giggle. And the manager does that as well.
And I also heard that he gave up his business class seat for one of the players.
I thought that was incredible.
Did you have a business class seat?
No.
What was your one? Just economy?
I'm not a player.
Yeah, but you're a gentleman of age. You should have a reclining seat.
I agree with you, probably, but I don't like the gentleman of age thing, but it is
that's
that
a very diplomatic way of saying you're over 50.
Well, a bit older than that, but the thing is, there's plenty of room in the plane to lie down in anyway.
How old are you now?
76. 70, well, wait a minute, what are you? 77.
Fantastic that you're coming to China age 77. Seriously, I'm not taking the piss.
Yeah, I'm not a little bit.
I'd love to be travelling around the world at your age.
Watching United.
Like, of course.
I know, but Andy.
But with your energy as well.
I'm in the gym every day.
I know
day.
You are. With Vinny.
With Vinny, my fanatical
why
city friend.
Why don't we talk about your mate Vinny on here?
Better say the right things. I know, but you're right.
Otherwise, we'll have some proper comeback.
In Italian.
I know,
but the thing
Vinny is a lovely man. He's a prominent gentleman in Manchester and
everybody
has been for many
him.
Decades, and everybody knows him. And he supports City, but he likes United.
He's got a season ticket at United as well.
So he's of a generation who would watch both.
Yeah, both teams.
Is he still in Ancoats?
Yes. He wants both teams to win, but not when they play each other, that's a different ball game together.
Let me tell you something,
going back to 77, being 77, it's different today. I remember going back 30 years ago, well, more than 30 years ago, if you saw somebody at 50, you thought, my God, they're older. You saw somebody at 60, dear me. If you saw somebody at 70, oh, you're in the departure lounge.
And you go to the gym every day?
I go to the gym every day. Well, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
With Vinny, and the great thing about Vinny, Vinny's still got all the City regalia on when we walk down through the city.
When I went to see City as part of researching your autobiography, I went to see him in Ancoats, and yes. Vinny said, sit down there. There's your bacon butty.
That's
and,
right.
And
yeah.
There's your cup of tea. And yeah. I hadn't asked for either. Yeah. But I made sure that I ate the bacon butty and I drank the cup of tea.
I know, but lovely, because it'd obviously be lunchtime when you'd do that, wouldn't you? And he goes, there's a place around the corner from him. They go down every day and order about maybe 10 or 12 bacon butties and cups of tea.
Are you still enjoying your job and the travel?
God,
Does travel not get too much? You enjoy it?
You get a bit bored more than anything if you're travelling to the likes of here 11 and a half hours. But the thing, when you're on a plane that's dry, right. Obviously when you're travelling with a team, the plane's dry.
You can't have a beer?
Can't have anything, no.
That's out of order.
Not really, I suppose.
Well, I could say it is. You maybe can't, but all those wonderful Portuguese wines that the manager could introduce.
God almighty.
From the Douro, or the Port, from the Porto. Or Jerez from the border with Spain.
I'm sure the manager likes wine. Yeah. I have no idea, but I'm sure he does. But I'm going to, if he can bring some back with him.
You're 77 now, so you are 10 years past the average life expectancy of the part of Glasgow where you're from.
No, let me tell you, the part of Glasgow I was from, you're lucky if you could buy 21.
So basically, Manchester United have saved your life.
Correct.
By taking you out of that bit of Glasgow and bringing you to Manchester.
Correct, yeah.
Where you eat well, you sleep well.
Yeah, I know, but Glasgow's a great city.
Yeah, of course it is. Do you ever go back there?
Not as much now, because my family have all moved to Ireland.
Yeah.
We all live in Ireland now.
Have you ever been to Ireland?
Once or twice, why? I've been to Isle of Ireland, going, it's a fantastic place.
Can you get me a passport?
Yeah, of course, Emily can get a bloody Irish passport.
Now that England has voted to.
But Emily can get an Irish passport. You must have, everybody in England was somewhere along the way.
My great-grandmother is from the Northern Ireland, or the North of Ireland. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to call it with you.
But Minton would be an Irish name anyway, somewhere along the way.
German, no? I never see the word Mitten in. I don't know.
No, but let me tell you the funny thing about names. I had a great friend of mine in Glasgow called Tony Quinn. He's dead now, God bless him. He was a great Celtic fan. His family came to Glasgow from Ireland. Their name was Quinn. When they got to Scotland and they pronounced their name Quinn, the way they said it, it sounded like Queen, so they wrote Queen down and not Quinn. So that would have happened probably in America and certainly other countries that couldn't pronounce the name properly. You can't bloody pronounce Andy's name. You can't even pronounce my bloody name.
All right.
And I mean Paddy.
Paddy?
Oh, you've done well. You've got that right.
Do you consider yourself Irish?
I would be more pro-Irish than anything, because I spent every summer when I was a kid in Ireland.
Yeah, but
spent every winter and every...
Yeah, but you're Scottish.
I was born in Scotland. If a pig's born on a byre, it's not a cow, is it?
I'm on weak ground here, because I have children who were born in Barcelona, and they've got mixed identities as well.
But Barcelona is a wonderful city, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spain's a great country to be born on as well.
Yeah. Are you optimistic about United this season?
I'm more than optimistic, in actual fact. I've said to everybody, I fancy them. With the new manager and the players he's brought in, I think they won the league. I think they won the league.
Really?
There's no danger of them not being in the Champions League next year, but I just think they won the league.
Yeah, and of the signings that have come in, Ibrahimovic?
Yeah, well, the quality of... You looked at Manchester United over the last couple of years, Andy, and the thing you're thinking, well, we need a big, strong centre-half that can frighten people. We've now got one. Mm. And you're looking for somebody that can put the ball in the net regular. We've got one, Ibrahimovic. So I think things are looking up. I think they're looking great at the moment for Manchester United. Andy.
The Armenian kid looks good, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Mkhitaryan.
How do you pronounce it?
I've got that Mkhitaryan.
I'm impressed. I thought you might.
No, I make a mess of it. I'm just impressed by the way they've played and the way things are going at the present moment in time. It's just, you're not in Manchester now. Manchester's buzzing.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about certainly, both sets in actual fact, but at Manchester United, the fans are buzzing. The expectancy is now we're going to win the league from all the fans. Everybody you speak to now.
We did a poll.
So, Josie, you've got a problem.
We did a poll on United We Stand, which got back to Mr. Woodward, and 55% of people think United will win the league this year. So there's a lot of expectation.
I know.
That the team will win the league this year.
I'm surprised there's only 55%.
Well, I thought there wasn't one person voted for United to finish outside the top four. So there's a lot of optimism.
Yeah.
You knew Paul Pogba, didn't you?
Yes.
He lived near you, didn't he?
Yeah. Why you brought that up?
Because
I've no idea whether he's coming or not.
No, not at all. Because
I would like to think he was.
I get asked every single day, and I know as much as you do. I know that the facts are out there publicly. United want him, and
the thing is, Andy, I never ask questions at Old Trafford. People think I'm in the know forever, and I don't ask questions. You know why? I can have an opinion.
Yeah.
I can have an opinion.
I'm not asking you about Pogba now. When you knew him.
Oh, I went to his house.
Exactly, that's what I'm more interested in, rather than...
I went... That sounds dreadful, but he lived not very far from me.
Did you just knock round there and say hello to him? Why did you go to his house?
No, I knew him because he'd played in the reserve team, and I used to do all the games for United, and you get to know the younger kids, and you get to know the players that you think's going to be the stars.
But that don't mean you should go out of their house. What did you do? Just
I didn't go round to his house in actual fact. I'll not be a second... I'm coming back from a reserve match one night, and he's in the car beside me at the lights, and I knew he was turning right to go into where he was going, and I says, I want to speak to you. We got to his house, and I got out, and I spoke to him there, and I spoke to him about, I'd heard rumours about Juventus and all that sort of thing, and I think he was moaning a little bit about not getting the money he thought he should have got as a player and all that sort of thing. And I said to him, well, son, you're going to be a great player. You don't have to go chasing money. You'll get money.
Yeah.
And I got the opinion then it was the agent that was forcing it through. I could be wrong, but that was the opinion I got. That obviously my words of wisdom didn't work.
Let's see what happens. And thank you for your time again. And hopefully we'll see you this season.
I bloody hope not.
United We Stand is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. It's a new betting site for all sports punters with great odds, markets and offers. Listeners to this podcast can now get a free £10 when they deposit £10 just by using the promo code UNITED10. That's UNITED and the number 10. Just visit betonbrazil.com and enter the promo code UNITED10 when you deposit your £10 and you get £10 free. Sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Betonbrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should only be fun, so please gamble responsibly.
In place of watching Manchester United against Manchester City, I'm with one of the fans who's travelled over from Manchester, Peter Bolton. Thanks for talking to us on United We Stand, Peter. What are your feelings about the game being postponed?
I'm a bit gutted, really. I mean, we've come 5,000 miles here and 5,000 miles back to get two games, and we only get one of them. So, and I didn't even know it was off. And we'd left the hotel because there's only Wi-Fi in the hotel, and got ready for the match and traipsed off there. And then, only when we got down there, people were saying it was off. And
So Chinese people were saying.
I think it was like Hong Kong people. It was people who could speak English were telling us, and I was looking and thinking, are you sure? And I did believe him because I knew it might be off. But then I carried on going round to the fan zone just to double check. I didn't want to sort of turn back and miss a game, so I ended up finding out. But a third party, but the Wi-Fi up here is a bit naff, isn't it?
The internet in China is a lot of sites are blocked. A lot of the bigger sites are blocked. So yeah. Information is difficult. I'm sure you've been to other games in the past which have been postponed, because you've been watching United for how long?
A long time, yeah.
Yeah?
63 season I started going, 62, 63.
Right.
But yes, I was going to say, but one of my famous games that got postponed was, I think it was QPR. We went down to watch United at QPR and the game got postponed, and so we went to watch Fulham versus Oldham. And when we got in there, they were going Fulham and Oldham. United, and George Best was playing for Fulham. So I don't know what year it was, but we went. I mean, we just loads of us, probably Tony O'Neill's lot and all that lot, and we're all in there singing United songs, and everybody was just wondering what we were doing there, but the QPR game was off, so we went to Fulham.
You're a well-known figure among United fans. I believe you even got recognised in China today.
I've been recognised twice by Chinese people. A bloke came up to me and said, "Are you Peter Bolton?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Oh," something. And that was just it. And then this girl came up and said, "Yeah, are you Peter Bolton?" So I said, "Yeah, I don't know, you know." He said, "Oh, can I take some pictures?" I said, "Well, no, no." And then she was talking to this other person, and we were trying to scramble some stuff out of the fan part, but the fan part was shut as well. And she could obviously speak English and Chinese, so she got a load of stuff out the fan part, because she, you know, could tell them, we'd get some shirts and stuff out there. And I said, "Where are you from?" And she was local, from Beijing, I think, and she's knew
so,
me.
So that's the power of social media.
That is the power of Twitter, yeah.
And tell us about your flag.
Well, my flag, I've been getting the signatures on my flag. I think I've got 170, but not on this trip. But trying to get as many people, anybody that's played for United, from, you know, 14 seconds of Nick Culkin to 900 games for Ryan Giggs, and I've got loads of people have signed here. I mean, some of them are starting to fade now, and you know, and I've got some of the new boys, and hopefully I'll get most. I was hoping to get some of the squad join this trip, but we've missed them, and things have not gone right on this trip anyway.
One of the things that hasn't gone right in the training sessions, the players didn't really come over to the fans, did they?
We were very disappointed. We blagged our way into the training session last night, and it was at not the main stadium, but it was another stadium, which was a big stadium. You know, it would pass as a championship stadium. It didn't have much of a roof on it, but, you know, I don't know how many thousands, but it had two ends.
It was a 30,000-seat stadium.
It had two big ends, and then both long sides had two tiers. Mm. And the 1,000-ish, I don't know how many United fans, were all down at one end of the side. But when they came out and trained up, they trained on the far side of the pitch. And to me, they'd invited these 1,000 people, ticket only, invite only, and then trained far away from them. It's like, you know, there was no reason to, like, they couldn't train on the near side of the pitch. And the other thing that sort of annoyed me a little bit is they were all waiting for United players to come over and clap them, or, you know, that they could take pictures of them. We were, the front row of the stand was about 20 foot up. I mean, Andy was down there and he couldn't even reach it. You know, they couldn't have signed anything because we were far too high. But when they went off the pitch, they went off, whichever way they went off, it was two sides of a square, and they went off the other way.
Yeah, they could have come over to the
fans. They could have come over to the invited fans, not to me, but these Chinese people. One of them had a girl, I've seen the picture back in England, and it said, "I want to be Phil Jones's girlfriend." Yeah. And she was going hysterical every time Phil Jones got to the half way across the pitch, but he never came further than that. And she'd have killed for him, really, but he didn't even come out. And I just thought it was a bit poor, seeing as the whole tour was for the fans, you know, for the Chinese fans. I mean, I've paid a fortune to come out here because I like following United, but these will see United once every 10 years or whatever. You know, I'll see them again on Rooney's Town, I'll see them at Gothenburg and be the next
time. And you don't just watch the first team, do you?
No, I go and watch 21s, 18s. I mean, next year it'll be 23s, 21s and 18s in reserve. So I do.
How many games are you going to a season?
So normally between 100 and 120, depending how many things. But we do. You know, it doesn't bother me to go and watch the under 21s at Southampton or Swansea or, you know, Norwich. Last year we did under 21s away at Norwich, and people think we're mad. But
people will wonder, how do you do it? How do you fit it around normal life?
Well, going back, I worked when I had a proper job. I worked 9 till 5, but I worked for my dad, so I took all my holidays as following United. But then when my dad decided to retire and sell up, I was working for somebody else and it didn't quite work. So the first thing I had to do was try and get a job where you get a good boss, you know, that let me off. So the only way I could do that was become self-employed. So I learned to be a black cab driver, and it took me a year to do it all. Then I became a black cab driver, and I could do as many hours as I wanted in the week and have as many times off. So I could drive to the match in my cab, watch the match, come out, get to my cab, and then put my for hire sign on and start taking the day trippers home, or, you know, to Liverpool or wherever. I got one job once off the match, and I picked them up before the match, and they had these cases. They said, "How do we get to London after the match?" I said, "Well, do you want to go in a taxi? And they said, yeah, well, that's fine, we negotiated a price. So they went off. I left the luggage
how
in
much
the...
is a taxi from Manchester to
well, it
London?
Was. I did it for £250 for them. And they left the luggage in my taxi. I watched the game, they watched the game, and I said, well, just come back to the taxi, if I get no rush back. And we tootled off to London for them. I did it a bit cheaper than probably somebody was there. But
not that dear, that.
No, it's not that dear, but it suited me, you know. And I said to my wife, I'll be a bit later home. She said, well, you know, I've got the dinner ready for you when you come home. And I said, oh, I'm just doing a London and back. And so I did that. And then that I did taxiing for sort of 30 years. I was a black cab driver. And, you know, I could work 50, 60, 70 hours a week if I wanted and still get every cab. I might get up at 4 in the morning and work till 6 at night, 8 at night if I wanted, on a non-match day. And then... you know, people, the busiest time for taxi drivers was Christmas, and all the taxi drivers thought, you're mad having 2 weeks off to go to Japan to watch a couple of football matches for United to win the World Club Cup 2 weeks before Christmas, come back on Christmas Eve. You know, all the build-up for Christmas trade is the 2 weeks before Christmas. But it didn't matter. What mattered to me was being in Japan. So I missed all the Christmas
trade.
And
you said for 30 years, are you still doing it now?
I still get every... I don't know, every time my wife's had a stroke, so okay. I'm officially a carer now. I'm not really broadcast that, but I don't mind. My wife's poorly at home, so I've had to get a... we've got a carer to come in, and it's a friend who's staying for 2 weeks while I've come here. Said I want to go on the tour.
Right.
And she hasn't complained. She's probably not happy about it, but she's at home and somebody's coming to look after her, so...
And over the years, you must have an understanding wife to travel.
Yeah, she's never once bothered. I mean, we got married in close season, which was, you know, in June, so I wouldn't miss a match. And
I'm laughing, but I got married in June as
yeah,
well.
So, yeah, she's never complained to me. I don't know if she complains to her family or her friends that always going to another match, but when I said, oh, I want to go to China, and the first thing she said, well, you go, we'll sort something out, so... we'll sort something out. I've got no dependable kids that are going to leave me money to, so spend it on United, spend it on my wife in between times, and don't let the taxman have it. At the end of the day, I'm not going to take it with me, am I? So, you know, people say, how do you afford it? I said, well, I've worked hard, spend it all now. I don't want to die and leave £1,000 or £1,000,000 or £500 to the taxman. Yeah. Spend it on United, spend it what I want to do, so yeah. I'm happy with that.
And you go away to Norwich to watch the under-21s. You're not going by yourself, are you? There are other
I hire a bus, and a 14-seater bus. And so for the first team games, which we did every one, we had 14, and a different 14, because it all depends on who's got tickets, but I always filled it. And then for the under-21s, there was always, you know, between 10 and 14 going to it. Now, most of the under-21s were the... we always called ourselves the sad reds, but they were all the retired ones because they were all on midweek games and that. But it was still enough to come. Sometimes I was turning people away.
So it's people who've got time.
Yeah, the time.
So, like, one of my friend's parents watch Yorkshire Cricket Club an awful lot because they're retired, because they've got time.
Because they've got time, yeah.
It's the one thing that, you know, it doesn't cost a lot. No. It costs like £3 to get in or something.
Well, I mean, if I'm doing a minibus to Norwich, you know, we say it's £20 and £3 to get in, and we might stop.
Not that dear, is it?
It's for a day out, you know, it's £25 and, you know, you've done it for a first team match. You know, last year, it was, you know, you've got your £20 to London, and then you've got your £60 to get into Arsenal, which... great news that it's only going to be £30 this year.
The prices are coming down, aren't they?
That's right. But, you know, you didn't, you know, buy a programme and all that. You didn't get change. That's £100 last year. And then if you drank as well, you know, and people would be coming on the bus with a whole crate for themselves or whatever, you know, we didn't bother about drinking and things like that. So it was a dear day out. But, you know, for me, I enjoy driving. I drove for a living for all my life, so I didn't mind driving the bus, right? Because I'm not a drinker. So I didn't mind driving, whether I'm driving, you know, I've driven to Barcelona before now. And
how long does that take, Manchester?
A long
Barcelona.
Time. We did a minibus to the north coast. The north coast of Spain. We've done all sorts. We'll drive anywhere. You know, I've driven to pre-season matches in when we had a tie-up with Royal Antwerp. We drove there for a pre-season game to see whoever was playing. Dong, I think, played that game. And, you know, you get all sorts of weird
What's
and wonderful.
What's the furthest you've driven?
Probably far, Spain, I think. Yeah. I've driven to Spain, it's about as far as I've driven. But furthest I've been, Australia. When I did Australia in South Africa, we did those consecutive years. And I even said to the air hostess when on the first one, I said, do they announce when we're going over the equator? And she said, why? So I thought, okay, you know, that's a stupid thing because they're going over the equator every day, but I've never been south of the equator. And, and I just thought that was a big thing. I mean, my biggest miss that I ever regret was the 1999 thing in Brazil.
2000.
And
you didn't go?
I didn't go to that one. I didn't have the money to go, but I always regret it. That I've never been to South America to watch United. Yeah. That's my big thing. But and you know, my biggest regret, and it was a long time of the year. I'd only just started taxiing, that I couldn't really have the time, and it was, you know, the Christmas time, and United weren't even taking it seriously anyway. Yeah. You know,
it was still brilliant though. Real was a great
It was
city.
Probably brilliant, yeah. And you know, and
football
and wasn't. No, I was going to say we didn't do very well there. But I've done the other World Club Cup ones, but now I'm retired and I've got the time, and while I've got the money, when I run out of money, I'll stop going. But while I've got the money, if we play, you know, a mid-season friendly anywhere in the world, I will be there, because you know, health being the thing, I will go. And you know, I've come all this way for one game, and we didn't even try in that game, did we? So it's been an expensive 10 days or 12 days when I get home that we've come over here for a game. But we're still happy, aren't we? We're all having a nice drink here and nobody's worried.
Aside from Brazil, is there another game that you've missed and really regretted, maybe because you couldn't get to it?
The game that, again, I'll blame United for this one, but I booked to go to America and I did the whole tour and paid for it and everything, and it was all booked. And then they suddenly said, "Oh, we're going to go
Lisbon.
To Mexico." No, we're Mexico.
Oh, Guadalajara.
Guadalajara.
Hernandez, yeah.
Right, and there's only people like Webby went to that
that's
one.
Right, yeah.
But they must have had somebody either with that could organise flight, you know, to cancel the flight just to get to Guadalajara.
So
how
do you feel when there's a game going on and you're not there and you know?
Oh,
that
it's awful. It's
do
awful.
You have like massive withdrawal symptoms?
Yeah, well, I'm getting up at the wrong time, but I'm really annoyed that I should be. I always feel I should be there, but it's one of those things, you know. I mean, people do think I'm mad. I mean, when you know, neighbours are saying to me, "Oh, you're not going to China, are you?" You know, and but it's China. I said, "Well, yeah." You know, where are you going for your holidays? They said, "Oh, I'm having 2 weeks in Benidorm." I said, "Okay, well, I'm spending as much as you are, but I'm going to China. We're going to see the Great Wall. We're going to see, you know, the Terracotta Army, which I wouldn't see. I wouldn't choose to come to there, but on my bucket list type thing, I've seen the Great Wall, and that's what football does for you. You know, when we do Europe, normally I try and do, you know, 3 or 4 days. You know, next year when it's Europa League, I'm really looking forward to some different places. When it's Champions League, which I'd rather be in the Champions League, don't get me wrong.
I agree with you.
But it was Milan, I've been 10 times, and Barcelona 7 times. Now we're going to get to Kazakhstan and these Yugoslavian ex places, you know, that have not been countries that have not, you know, years ago you would never heard of, and that, you know. I don't know, I want to get, you know, all these countries there, so I think we'll get some good places to go, and I'll be certainly doing Tuesday to Friday type thing, and then back for the game on Saturday or Sunday.
Finally, how do you think United will do this season?
I think it'll be very difficult to win the league. I'd love to see us win the league. I think the big thing with Mourinho, he's got United fans thinking big, and he's got other fans hating us again, which is something the United fans have always liked, all the fans hating us, and I think we'll be pushing for the league, whether we win it or not. I just think there's too many changes to have to happen from the 3 years of dross we've watched, you know. I mean, as I was saying, I've been every game for the last 3 years. I've been every game for the last 23 years, but the last 3 years has been awful. You know, you're coming out of Everton with David Moyes after we've lost 2 or 3 there, whatever it was, thinking, what am I doing, and that, and I'm really looking forward to it this year. I'd be surprised if we win the league, but I think we'll be pushing for it all the way. If these new players all bed in, you know, don't know how we're going to get them all in the team. And, you know, Rooney, the captain, how's he going to get a place in there, you know, the way he's been playing? But hopefully, you know, if he ups his gear, if he's in every week, and in every week due to his ability and not just as a captain, I'd be great, you know. I mean, I want the best 11 that's there, and only the manager can tell us who's going to be the best 11, isn't it, you know.
Thanks for your time, Pete.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you. See you soon.
So that's it for this podcast. The next podcast will be coming to you from Gothenburg, Sweden. Manchester United play Galatasaray there on Saturday. So listen out for that one. And we're also starting work on the first United We Stand of the season. So if you're one of those people who subscribes over the summer and orders your mag for the next season, you might want to think about doing that now. Cheers, and until next time, goodbye.